This is my 16th Christmas here. You should know the answer to this question. Advent means what? Coming. Advent means coming. Christmas is coming tomorrow. Jesus has come and is coming again. This year, our Advent readings have come from an unexpected place in our Bibles. They haven't come from the Gospels, from Matthew or Luke's versions of the Christmas story. And they haven't come from the Old Testament either, with predictions of the Messiah who was to come. No, this year our readings were drawn from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were tempted to stop following Jesus and just go back to practicing pre-Christian Judaism. But the writer to the Hebrews labors long and hard to show them that Jesus is better than all of that and that there is no going back. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. And as the fulfillment, He is so much better. And in chapter 1 of Hebrews, the writer argued that Jesus was better than the angels. We know that there were angels to proclaim His birth that first Christmas. And in making His argument, this is what the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Since the children have flesh and blood, He's talking about us, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death, He's talking about Jesus, He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason He had to be made like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You for everybody gathered here tonight. Help us, Lord, to hear Your Word to us. There's a lot of distractions because there's presents under the tree. There's a lot of fun to be had. It's going to be hard to sleep tonight because Christmas is coming tomorrow. But help us right now, Lord, to slow down and just think about what this passage of Scripture means. What does it mean that He shared in their humanity so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death? Help us, Lord, to get that, maybe like we've never got it before. I pray in this name, the name of this person we're talking about, the one who we're celebrating at this holiday, Jesus. Amen. On the first Sunday of Advent, Tom and Pam Hampton lit our first candle and pointed to the words of verse 14, "Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity." That's the wonder of Christmas, right there. You and I have flesh and blood. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. Right? Don't raise your hand if you don't have flesh and blood. I don't want to see you. And this text says that Jesus has flesh and blood too. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity. Just a few verses earlier, the writer said, "Both the one who makes men holy, Jesus, and those who are made holy are of the same family." You want to know what kind of being He was? Well, yes, He was unique because He was God the Son, but He was also just like us. He shared in our humanity. What was happening on that first Christmas was that the Son of God was joining our human family. He was taking on humanity, flesh and blood like you and me. Prick Him and He bled. Pierce Him and He died. This last month, our church family has memorized John 1:14 together, which says, say it with me, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus joined our family. He took on flesh. On the second Sunday of Advent, Karen Kraft and her son Bryce lit the second candle and pointed out that Jesus took on this flesh and blood for a specific purpose. It wasn't like one day in heaven he just said, you know what, I'd like to be human for a while. Let's try that on. Yeah, I'll put on some humanity and just go and try that out. That's not how it worked. He did it for a specific purpose. He took on flesh and blood because that's what you need to die. Listen again to Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death. So Jesus took on flesh so that his flesh could die. He took on blood so it could be shed. That's amazing. Because in his death, he conquered. Verse 14 goes on to say, by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus' death destroyed the devil. He dealt a death blow to our infernal enemy so that now we do not have to fear Satan. The Bible says, resist the devil and he must flee. Not because we're so great, but because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus' death brought destruction to the devil. And not only that, but it also freed the slaves of fear. Jose and Andrea and John and Rebecca and David and Samuel and Jeremiah lit our third candle. And they emphasized verse 15. By his death he might free those who all of their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Are you a slave tonight? Are you a slave of the fear of death? So that when Jesus was born, he was born to die, and his death was like no other. His death meant freedom. Until Jesus, there was no escape from death. Death loomed over humanity, and people were consumed by a search to break loose from its bonds. That's still how people feel about death, isn't it? Death is the thing that nobody wants to talk about. We say, well, they passed on. We don't want to say, they died. Death is the thing that we're most scared of, more than anything else. But Jesus defeated death for all who will trust in him. And he did it by becoming our great high priest. Tyler and Kendra Petrowski lit our fourth candle on Sunday and read the rest of the passage, verse 16. For surely it is not angels he helps. Remember, Jesus is better than the angels. But Abraham's descendants, human beings who have faith like Father Abraham. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. Catch that? He had to be made like his brothers in every way. That's Christmas. That's flesh and blood. That's the incarnation. In order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. When Jesus came that first Christmas, he came to be a Savior, Christ, the Lord, but he also came to be our merciful and faithful high priest, our perfect representative before God. Hear those two words again. Merciful and faithful. Merciful. He understands what it's like to be us and does not treat us as our sins deserve. Wow. And faithful. Jesus never gives up on his people and will love them forever. Do you need to hear those two words this Christmas Eve? Merciful and faithful. That's our representative before God. That's our high priest. Merciful and faithful. And here again what this high priest did. He wasn't a high priest for the cool get-up. Verse 17, for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, flesh and blood, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about atonement. Jesus came to make atonement for the sins of his people. He came to pay the penalty for our guilt and our shame. He came to make things right between us and God. The blood that this high priest brought as a sacrificial offering to make atonement for the sins of the people was his very own blood. That's why he had to be made like us in every way, so that he could die for us. It's too much to think about, but it's a glorious truth. Because it's exactly what we needed. We needed a Savior. We needed someone who could atone for our sins because we could not do it on our own. But that's just what Jesus did. Listen once more to Hebrews 2:14 through 17. Now that we've turned on all the lights in the passage, let's walk back through them. since the children have flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death, He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way. Christmas. In order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people.